Welcome to the Yahoo Basketball Podcast, the Big Control Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Matt Moore, Skyping with us. You had the day... Well, you didn't really have the day off yesterday. My internet is not capable of holding three connections at once, so... You got odd-manned out.
Yeah, everyone talked really highly about your thing with Goodman, so... Congratulations on having a really great podcast. Thanks to Jeff Goodman for coming on. Just a great guy.
It helps having a guy who's good at talking come on and like carry the conversation. That's always good.
It's a nice change up from you and I.
Right. It's like, hey, here's some intelligent thought from an expert.
It's good to keep things, shift things up a little bit.
Yeah. You can't just have like blathering all over the place all the time.
Okay, we're going to put this... Somebody on Twitter got mad at me and said, can you do a podcast where you don't say things that you just said on Twitter last night? And I was like, well, I don't think so. But I'll tell you what, I'm only going to do two today.
Okay.
I'm going to keep things I said on Twitter.
There's a lot... I took the night off from basketball last night. A lot of craziness happened.
Yesterday was just... You know, like, my wife believes in astrology and...
Yeah.
Cosmology or whatever it is. And
you're thinking of Cosmopolitan magazine.
Yeah, something like that. And so she talks about like how, I don't think it's right now, but occasionally there's times when Mercury's in retrograde, and apparently that's like a time when like things just get disconnected and don't really work.
That just sounds like a problem for a mechanic.
And last night was not really like that, but I do feel like the stars were in a weird position, because yesterday was one of the weirdest days of my life. It was... that's saying something. It wasn't probably top five, because I've spent significant time in Austin and New Orleans, but
yes,
it was weird. Okay, like I chased Larry Sanders around the Ritz-Carlton,
just a friendly game of tag,
and somebody tried to pull me into a conference of like CenturyLink real estate. They thought I was like with the conference. It was like, no, they were like, no, come in. You can get in. It's okay. There's room in the seminar. And I was like, I don't want to. Leave me alone. And then I went to like Baja Fresh and got delicious tacos. And it was one where I wanted to get the salsa, but then assumed that they'd given me chips and salsa because they give you chips and salsa with everything. And the salsa bar is optional, but they did not. So that was odd. And then I spent like 6 hours in a press room, because it's an hour drive into Denver for me.
Yeah.
So if I go in, I can't, like, most guys, like, you know, even the traveling beat writers, like, they go to the arena for shoot-around, then they go back to the hotel, take out their pants, and write.
Do they still have a pants policy in the Pepsi Center?
They still do, unfortunately.
Yeah, God, it's 2013.
And so, like, I spent 6 hours, and that's just a long time to be in a silent, cold room by yourself.
Yes.
So that was odd. And I wrote about various things. I went on this weird rant about Doc Rivers saying that the media is making up rumors, which I hate, because they're clearly lying about their trade situation. And then the Grizzlies lost to the Suns. Pau Gasol got hurt, and the Lakers won. Kobe dunked on everyone.
Yeah, I saw that.
And Samuel Dalembert. I was in the building, and I witnessed firsthand Samuel Dalembert's career high.
This is what we have to talk about, because I went out for a lovely dinner. If anyone is in Minneapolis or visiting Minneapolis, I very much recommend Heidi's in the Uptown. It's one of the best restaurants in the city, and this is a city with a lot of great restaurants. Went there, had some dinner, had a few drinks, came back, checked my phone, looked at the scores for the games, and it said leading scorer for Milwaukee, Dalembert, 35 points, and I thought, well, I clearly had too much to drink. That's not a thing. And I went to bed. I didn't even want to deal with basketball when that's what it was telling me last night. So apparently it did happen.
I can't really tell you whether or not it was incredibly awesome or just disconcerting and disturbing. It was kind of both. It was just because, you know, he scores, he comes in, it's like, oh, he got a dunk. Oh, good for Dalembert. Like he's been struggling to get time. Like,
sure.
Good for him. Got like another dunk. Like, oh, look at Samuel Dalembert go. Oh, like he hit a little mid-range floater. Like, it's kind of weird. He hit a hook shot. Did he just hit a jumper? Oh my God, he's hitting jumpers. What is happening? I got genuinely distressed at one point because he was closing in the fourth quarter and he hit 33 points. And so I was like, I have to look at this. So I looked at players that had more than 33 points in less than 25 minutes, because at that point he had 33 points in 18 minutes.
Yeah.
And the list of players that have 33 points in more than 33 points in less than 25 minutes is remarkable. It is crazy. There's guys on there. Austin Crozier's on that list, Zach. Austin Crozier and Michael Jordan share one list, and that is it.
Of course he. I mean, when I think of short scoring spurts, I usually first think of Troy Hudson, naturally. Then I cry a little bit, and then I think of Austin Crozier.
Then I die inside.
Yeah, then I die inside.
It wasn't just that he had all those points. At some point, you just accept like this is okay. Like this is my life.
I just looked it up. Cliff Robinson's on that list.
The leader is Sleepy Floyd. He scored 40 points in 24 minutes.
Yeah, that's a lot. Jordan had
that's a lot.
Jordan had 38 in 25 minutes.
Yep.
Wow.
Kiki Vandeweghe had 36 in 20.
That's efficient. That is. Here's the thing. It's weird that like we're in a week where LeBron went 13 of 14 in a game and Down Bear went 17 of 21.
And at one point he was I mean he didn't miss a shot for a long time. And then finally he misses like a gimme under the basket, gets his own rebound, puts it back in. It was off an assist too. I started calling those the Fareed.
Yeah.
Where you kill the assist, get your own offensive rebound and score. So like not only did you hurt your teammate, but you pushed up your own stats too. Yeah, I mean, it was, it looked like, okay, well, you know, this is a night where Samuel Dalmare has scored 30-plus points, so clearly the Nuggets are going to lose. Like, that's just one of those things that happen. And then all of a sudden, it's a 5-point game, and then it's a 2-point game, and then it's tied. And then the Nuggets just ran away, just drifted off into the sunset.
It looks like didn't watch the game yet, but looking at the box score, it's not ideal to have Brandon Jennings and Monte Ellis score 24 points combined on 36 combined shots.
Not exactly what you're looking for.
They did have 16 assists. I'll give them that.
Jennings was really good in the first half. And then the fourth quarter, everything that every writer, blogger, fan says negative about Brandon Jennings and Monte Ellis, they did.
Yeah.
Everything. Baseline contested jumpers, like transition pull, you know, Pujits that were clearly contested, missing shots at the rim, forcing it, offensive fouls, turnover after turnover after turnover. Part of it was they kept running into here's the really weird part. This is what drives Nuggets fans insane about George Karl and why I love him. You're George Karl, and Samuel Dalembert has 35 points. Larry Sanders has been killing you, but he's hurt. Their bigs have been getting whatever they want inside. So how do you respond?
If I'm George Karl?
Yeah.
Just roll the ball out there and let him play.
Karl goes small.
I kind of like that.
He ran Lawson, Iguodala, Brewer, Gallinari, Fareed. Didn't even have a legit five.
Here's why I like that. Is they're killing you big, but they have a backcourt that wants to take over. Like, Ellis and Jennings, like, that's just in their nature. They want to take over. By going small, you almost dare them to, like, keep up with the speed of the game. And it kind of shocks the system a little bit. I actually think it's a really smart idea against the Bucks.
And what started happening was they forced turnovers, and because Milwaukee was like, okay, we're winning going big, so let's stick with that. Nobody could get out in transition to stop Denver.
Yeah.
And they just started doing... It was steal, outlet pass, steal, outlet pass.
Oh, my God. 33 fast break points for the Nuggets.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
They grab the ball. At one point, Iguodala reaches over Monte Ellis and just takes the ball. Like, he bobbled it for a second, and Iguodala just takes it out of his hands like a bigger kid taking a smaller kid's candy and throws it full court to Brewer, outlet pass for dunk. And then... Like, Lawson got a steal and pushed it up to Iguodala, and he got a dunk. I mean, it was madness. And then Danilo Gallinari hit this shot, which on the broadcast, I am told, Chris Marlowe referred to, Nuggets broadcaster referred to it as the shot of the century.
Really?
Mike Dunleavy, off of an M1 over Mike Dunleavy, to let you know about the context here. It was a pretty crazy shot. Here's the funny part. He hits this insane shot, which is pretty much like it sealed the game. It was an M1, even though he missed the free throws. Like, that was like it. Like, once he hit that, you could just see the Bucks be like, okay, that's fine. If he's going to hit that, okay. But that was, the scores went away at that point. That was a shot that got Denver tacos.
Oh.
That was the taco shot.
Okay.
So imagine this. Danilo Gallinari, arguably the second most popular player on the team, hits a crazy and one shot for tacos. The building erupted.
And Westbrook is nowhere to be found to stop the shot and stop the free food.
And more amazing was after the game, they asked Gallinari, you know, how did you make that shot? He's like, well, it was a big shot for us. Obviously, it was for tacos. It's just like, I love Gallo. He's got such a great sense of humor.
That's
got
to be a thing, though. I mean, because not every city does it. Like, the Timberwolves don't do that where they give food away if a certain thing happens. Like, that just doesn't – that's not a thing at the Target Center. So I wonder, like, for the players playing in cities where that is a thing, is that something that you just accept, yes, the fans want us to win tonight, but they also want their free food, so hopefully we can get both? Like, is that something you shoot for? That's kind of weird, right?
The fans want the food more than they want the win. I'll say that right now. If they're down 120, those fans are, I mean, they started chanting, "We want tacos," as soon as they got to, like, 90.
And it's a game at that point.
And it's, like, a really close game against a good team. And this is a big game for Denver also because of, and they didn't know it at the time, but Golden State, which we will get to in a second,
yeah,
and Memphis both lost. So the Nuggets are now a game back of, they're tied in the win column and a game back of Memphis. So
for that fourth seed.
For the fifth seed, I think. Right now for the fourth seed, you're right. So, I mean, this is a big deal. Like, this is, the Nuggets have tightened the gap. It was like, you had like the top, I guess it was, you know, it was Spurs, Clippers, Thunder, Grizzlies, Warriors, and now Denver's put themselves into that area. And
yeah.
So now they've got a legitimate chance at the four. And this is, all this stuff matters, so it's starting to really get serious. But it was just a really weird game. And the locker room, like, the Nuggets were joking about it, but joking about it more in a, what just happened? Like, no one could understand it. Carl was the only one that was kind of reasonable about it. He was like, look, Samuel Dallamare's been in this league a long time. He played well. This happens. And you're
no, it doesn't.
And
then no.
We stop and be like, no. No, it doesn't. Do not understand. So it was a very odd game. It was a very, very, very weird day for me. For a number of other reasons, which you can't go into the podcast, but it was just an odd day. Golden State, Houston.
Okay, so we got a controversy here.
Which, well, let's back up a little bit. Let's point this out. They scored 77 points in the first. Houston scored 77 points in the first half, prompting me to ask on Twitter if the there's one. That's my first reference. If the Warriors were drunk, like, and I think that's a reasonable question. Were the Warriors drunk?
Super Bowl hangover.
Apparently.
They probably all went to New Orleans, you know, local teams in it. I get it.
Houston scored 140 points.
That is astounding. And, all right. I don't understand. You're going to have to explain this to me. I don't understand why there's controversy with what Mark Jackson did. For a little background, the Houston Rockets tied an NBA record with 23 made three-pointers in the game. Tied Orlando, who I think set it against the Kings a few years ago. This is with like a little over a minute to go, right? And one more sets the record. And so Mark Jackson starts fouling them so they can't attempt three-pointers, correct?
Yeah.
Now, they're getting blown out in this game anyway, so it's not affecting the outcome of the game in terms of win-loss, just like record books. I don't get why this is why people are mad at Mark Jackson, because it's not like the Rockets were 23 of 23 and just needed another chance. Like, they took 40 in a game. Like, they took enough to make 24 and set the record. And if you don't want him to foul you, just start launching from half court. If you can tell this is what he's doing, like, I just don't get why people are upset about this. Is it because we didn't get a chance to see history?
I don't know how much people are upset about it. If they are, here's the line of thinking, which I don't agree with, just before you get upset. This is not, I don't agree with this. These are not my thoughts. the idea with these kind of situations rolls down to this. People don't like it when you do something outside of the context of what you would normally do to specifically prevent an achievement from occurring.
Sure.
That's what is the general thing is. If you are, you wouldn't normally do this. You're only doing this to prevent this. So for some reason that doesn't sit well. I think because it comes off as petty. I think that's the element. It comes off as petty. Now to me, that's on him forever if they hit that.
Sure.
He coached the team that got dropped the most three-pointers in history on him.
Sure.
I would do the same thing. In reality, I would have started fouling. I would not have started fouling. I would have told guys to start fouling hard for every three-pointer they took.
Yeah.
And basically been like, you're not doing this. Like, it's fine if you, you can take contested mid-range jumpers all you want. That's fine. I'm just telling you, you're not doing this to us.
Right.
It's over. You won the game. Congratulations. Chill. I got no problem with him fouling. Like, I think it's, keep your, and because it's not even just you. All those players have to deal with that too. You're keeping that, and you're protecting your players because they're going to have to deal with that stigma for the rest of their life. Even though it's not going to get brought up to them, it's not like everyone's going to be like, so, think back to when the most three-pointers were dropped on you
right.
in a game 3 years ago. But they're still, they just know, like, oh god, that game sucked. And then now at least it's like, okay, we didn't give up the worst ever.
They make 23 three-pointers in a game. Over the last four games, the Timberwolves have made 23 three-pointers. And that was with a 10 three-pointer effort in the loss to the Lakers.
At one point, here's what's crazy. At one point, Houston was 16 to 20 from three.
That's
inhuman. That's what that is.
That's remarkable.
I mean, that's video game. That is video game.
No, they put like algorithms in it now to where you cool off. Like you can't even do that. You can't even do that in a video game anymore.
28 points, 9 assists for Jeremy Lin.
Yeah.
But seriously, he sucks for some reason.
Yeah, no, he's terrible.
Horford got punched in the nuts. I heard about that.
Who did?
Al Horford. I don't know who got him, but somebody punched him in the nuts.
I mean, my initial guess is Lance Stephenson.
Yeah, you had to assume.
Oh, although there were two hands bros on the court at one point.
The Lakers beat the Nets. Kobe dunks all over Gerald Wallace.
Oh, surprise! DJ Augustine got him. Just looked it up. How about that?
Another reason for you to think he's the worst player ever.
I know. I do love me some Al Horford.
You love me some Al Horford, and you hate you. Some, you hate you some DJ Augustine. So the Lakers, Powell, we're waiting on MRI today. He heard a pop in his foot.
Ugh, that sucks.
It sounds like he tore his plantar fascia. To let you know, listeners of the podcast have heard this before. When I saw him in Denver, I looked at that foot, and it made me uncomfortable.
Yeah,
I gagged a little bit.
It's not good.
It's gross. It's really gross. It's mangled.
Yeah.
Is the word I use.
I'm not afraid to admit this. I do watch Honey Boo Boo. Here Comes Honey Boo Boo. It's actually a pretty entertaining show if you can like divorce yourself from any sense of self-worth while you're watching it. The mom on there has what they call forklift foot,
right?
Where she was in a warehouse or a factory or something and a forklift ran over it, and they've showed the foot. It's not that far it's not that far off from what Pau's foot looks like. It's pretty gross.
So they won the game without Howard, without Man of World Peace, and without Pau Gasol down the stretch.
In Brooklyn.
That's a pretty good win for
them. That's a solid win.
So we'll have to see what happens with Pau. We didn't get a chance to talk about his comments yesterday to TJ Simers in what I would refer to as the 7,455th Mike D'Antoni hit piece that has been published this year. Yeah, so maybe he won't have to worry about dealing with Mike D'Antoni.
Oh, that would just... There is a point where I do feel bad for the Lakers that Gasol and Howard are both dealing with pretty serious injuries.
Yeah. And after Nash fractured his leg.
Yeah, I mean, they're going through some things.
Like, I mean, that's one of the things I talked about. This isn't one of those teams where it's like, well, we made some gambles on certain players and it didn't work out. They had a sure thing, and the basketball gods decreed. And they're still fighting through it, you know. And we'll see if the basketball gods make amends with them.
Yeah, they're 3 games under 500, which obviously going into the year that sounded insane, but it's not that bad considering everything they're going through.
Boston Thursday, Charlotte on a back to back Friday, and Miami on Sunday.
Oof.
Imagine the Charlotte win. Boston's a toss-up. Miami may be a toss-up, just because Miami. It's really been really weird. Like, I don't know. LeBron's done really well against Kobe, though. LeBron's record against Kobe is pretty good.
Yeah,
and they're at home, so that one's gonna be interesting. I think that'll be kind of a cool one. And then there's the Phoenix Memphis game.
You have feelings about Lionel Hollins right now. And,
I have feelings about Lionel Hollins.
To preface, you're a Lionel Hollins fan.
I am.
He's been a good coach.
He's been a great coach. He's what turned the franchise around. Honestly, he was like his work with this team. He got a bunch of guys that had forever been known. He took a franchise that had been known as a laughingstock with a bunch of players that had been known as laughingstocks, and he turned them into a legitimate sub-contender. Is probably the best term for it.
Yeah, I mean, Zach Randolph was just a traveling fool of sorts, yeah. You know, like just no one denied his talent. Everyone just denied his head, and he had like pretty hilariously just failed in different, you know, situations and the two biggest markets. I mean, he was playing for the Clippers, not the Lakers, but still LA. And you had Marc Gasol, who was like this tubby younger brother of the, you know, the franchise player, the previous franchise player, and, you know, through a lot of Marc Gasol's doing, but, you know, I'm sure Hollins helped out. Like, he's shed a lot of weight, and he's become, you know, arguably the best healthy center in the league right now. And then you had
Tony.
Yeah, you had Tony Allen, who was all over the place. And you had Mike Conley, who I would say some thought wasn't a good point guard.
Some people may have written that he was the worst starting point guard in the NBA.
Possibly people on this podcast.
Possibly people on this podcast they met. Living it down. So Hollins did all this. He really reformed the team, and he got through to him. Now, you know, he and O.J. Mayo didn't get along, and that was just kind of a situation. That's how it worked out, and I've made peace with that, even though I love Mayo. I've made peace with that. Like, it just had to happen because Lionel was the best thing for him. He got them to – he built a really great defensive system. The offense was never great, but it was good enough for them to win a ton of games, and the franchise needed to be legitimate. Like, the franchise is legitimate now. They're, you know, it's a winning culture. The Rudy Gay trade happens, and, well, it goes back further. So basically, they brought in Hollinger, and Hollins openly started making comments about the numbers stuff and how he doesn't trust it.
Right.
And that's fine.
Which lots is fair. Don't you don't believe. Have to believe in it. No one.
Yeah, lots of coaches don't like the numbers. Just because I happen to like them as an analyst doesn't mean anything. That's my job. Not, you know, I'm not coaching. So there's a lot of different things that go into it, and I'm okay with that. That's fine. Saying it publicly, not advisable. But that's okay. Rudy Gay gets traded. He talks about – he makes some more comments. And then last night, basically, a number of things happened in a row. One, Ed Davis plays 10 minutes, even though Marc Gasol is in foul trouble. And Hollins essentially says, well, I don't really have a lot of options because we don't have a five anymore. This is after he would legitimately not play him at Adati even when he needed to.
Right.
I mean, he would do things like move Zach Randolph to the five and play – Rudy Gay at the four,
right.
Just to not play him at Adati. And you can't really blame him because it's Adati, even though I love Adati. Like,
sure.
That's fine. This, they have given him, the management has given him a very strict set of guys, and that's a trade-off for being able to keep Marc Gasol, Zach Randolph, and Mike Conley. That's the trade-off.
Yeah.
You have three really good players that cost money. They had to get rid of Rudy, but they brought in, you know, enough players for them to field a legitimate rotation, but it is very strict, which should be okay because Hollins has never been real inventive with his lineups. He usually would do he played the starters for most of the first quarter, and then usually sub four of them out and keep one of them in, And then he would do a couple of things throughout the game kind of like that, where he would have very kind of strict rotations, so it shouldn't be a big deal.
Sure.
The setup as it is now is Darrell Arthur should spell Marc Gasol because he's the bigger one, and Ed Davis should spell Zach Randolph. For some reason, Hollins doesn't like Ed Davis, which doesn't make any sense to me because he's a hardworking young kid with a good body who rebounds well and defends. There's no reason for him to not like Ed Davis.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good player. Like, he's not Zach Randolph. He's not an all-star. He's not, you know, going to set the league on fire, most likely. But he's a good rotation big who could probably start for quite a few teams.
I openly lobbied for teams to trade Philadelphia for Murray Spates because I believed in his abilities. And his work in Memphis was phenomenal. And I love watching him play. Ed Davis is better than Murray Spates.
Oh, absolutely.
He just is. And Hollins seems to not think that. And it's mind-boggling. And then there's the fact that Zach Randolph, the biggest problem is Zach Randolph got one shot in the fourth. And after the game, he said, that's what coach wants us to play now. We're running pick and roll. And that is the kind of thing that's going to make my head explode if true. It's like, look, you traded Rudy Gay because he was expendable because of your post play.
Right. Now you're going
to
pick
him
up.
Like, you're only able to trade Rudy because of the fact that you could go to the post, and now you're not going to the post. Now, I do want to say this. Memphis fans are really flipping out over this game. And it makes me a little nuts because, look, Memphis almost lost, should have lost to Phoenix earlier in the year. Zach Randolph went berserk and got them into an overtime win. I think they did lose another game earlier, and they lost this one. Phoenix just matches up with Memphis.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. The Bobcats during the Gerald Wallace years always would match up well with the Lakers.
Yeah.
They just would. Regardless of the dunk last night, it's true. They just would. No matter how terrible they were, you know, they were the pesky Bobcats that somehow always managed to beat the Lakers. There's these teams that are really terrible, but just have another team's number. These matchup things that we talk about with the playoffs, they do extend to the regular season, and this stuff just happens. So, good for Phoenix, you know. It's a bad loss for Memphis. I'm not denying that. And
yeah.
You know, they've got some issues. They're trying to integrate stuff. But I'm also like, look, the Clippers suck right now because they don't have Chris Paul because he's on vacation.
Right.
You know, their team is in a lull. These teams that started awesome over the first 2 months of the season are going to go through a lull some point between January and March. The Spurs are going to hit a lull. The Spurs already did hit a lull. They had a little stretch in December where they weren't really great, and then they pushed through and now they're great again. But they'll have another one. Teams are going to do this. Nobody is consistently great at like an elite level the entire year.
It's really almost unfair to ask a team to do it. Like you are just going to have nights like that, and it's not. Something fans should be necessarily okay with, but you got to know, like, there are days you go to work, you just don't have it.
Yep.
It happens.
Happens to us all the time.
Literally every day.
So, yeah, that's kind of what happened last night. What else we got? What else is going on? Garnett doesn't want to go to Denver, and for some reason this is news.
Sure. Why, unless he's going to, like, he's a really loyal guy. Like, really loyal. Wants to do what's best for the team. And will ride with, you know, whoever's in that jersey. He's kind of insane that way. And so it's really going to take, like, a title. Like, that's what it took to get him to Boston. He wasn't just going to go to Boston. Like, he actually kind of submarined the initial trade from Minnesota to Boston back in 2007. And then they went and got Ray Allen. And then he said, okay, like, I will sign an extension if you guys trade me there. And that was mainly out of, like, loyalty. Because that's, you know, he wanted to stick with Minnesota. Like, that was his home at the time. And so to get him to go somewhere else, he really has to probably believe that they're going to win a title or be in a position to win a title. And it shouldn't be news that he doesn't think Denver has that situation for him.
Yeah, and the Denver media is really kind of weird because they seem very dissatisfied. with this team.
Yeah.
With, you know, why don't you go out and get a superstar player? And I'm kind of like, where? What do you want to go? You want to go? Do you want to try and get the Clippers drunk and steal Blake Griffin in the middle of the night? Like, what are you going to do?
Actually, solid idea.
Is this like Celtics pride? Like,
you go, you, trunk? What you do is you go, I think you go some kind of bourbon for the first half of the game, and then you got to go, I mean, this is risky, but you really got to go straight absinthe. Just yeah. An IV.
Yeah, you got to get him disoriented.
Yeah, an IV of absinthe, and that's how you take Blake Griffin drunkenly in the night.
Get him on absinthe and then give him a kaleidoscope and then...
Absolutely.
You'll be able to just sneak him out the back.
Yeah.
I just don't know what they're supposed to do. It's kind of odd to me. I'm not surprised that Denver made the call, reportedly. But I am kind of surprised just because every indication I've been given is they don't want money or age. That's the two things they don't want. And the exception is for a superstar. Garnett's 36. He's no longer in that category.
Yeah, he's not. He's just not there anymore. He could help them. I think
Garnett could agree. Garnett could be like, you know what? I like the mountains. I'm going to go yell at a mountain for a while.
Right.
I'm going to go stare down a mountain. Bark at him. You know? Or her. Not to say all mountains are male, but it wouldn't change much. You know, it's like, even if they kept their core and they only gave up young players, like if they gave like Wilson Chandler, Corey Brewer, Kenneth Faried, you're still looking at Ty Lawson, Danilo Gallinari, Andre Iguodala, Kevin Garnett, and JaVale McGee. It's not enough. It's not. Right. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't think that I don't think Garnett's necessarily going anywhere. Although I'm starting to wonder. I'll tell you why I'm starting to wonder. I don't think you were around yesterday when I kind of discovered this. On a lark.
No, I was around, and I believe I swore at you for bringing up that article.
Oh, that's right. Yes, you did. after Doc Rivers' comments, I started looking at, because everyone's like, because there is this thing among Boston fans and media where they're like, Doc said so. Doc said they weren't trading him. I'm like, of course Doc said that. Like, Zach Lowe and I are in the same place on this. Like, the media guys have been around the block, and me. I have not been around the block. But a bunch of the older media guys are like, of course he said that. Like, what else is he going to say?
Right.
Like, oh, no, yeah, we totally are taking calls for Kevin Garnett. It's open season. Like, it's not going to happen. But I started looking back at 2007. I wanted to see what the Timberwolves and what Garnett said then about all the trade stuff. And the team and Garnett said the same things in 2007.
You know what's coming? You know what's coming to my mind right now?
What?
Is that scene in My Cousin Vinny where the prosecutor is talking about like the makes of the car and the tires, and he goes, identical. Like, that's exactly what's going on.
Yes. Identical. The two youths. I watch that movie again.
Oh, it's fantastic.
So, I think there's a very clear pattern here. And to me, I said in the post, I wasn't calling out Doc Rivers. Some people wondered about that. And I was like, I'm not calling out Doc. This is what Doc's supposed to do. My point is that as agents are going to do what they're going to do. Team A is going to do what it's supposed to do. Team B is going to do what it's supposed to do. The players are going to respond the way that they're going to. There's a playbook to how trades work out.
Yeah.
And how it's negotiated, and the media is used. And we accept that because we get page views. That's how we get paid, you know. But as a reader, if you want to be – you don't have to. You don't have to be smart about the NBA. You can be dumb. That's okay. It's okay to be a dumb fan. It's just for fun. But if you want to be a smarter fan and you want to know what's actually going on, because a lot of fans are like, I do want to know what's really going on because I'm interested. You need to see through this and you need to recognize this is the playbook, okay? Yeah. It's – once that trade rumor gets out, you vehemently deny it.
And
you
downplay it. Yeah, and I agree. Like, Doc did what he's supposed to do. It doesn't mean he's a liar.
Yeah.
It just means, no, we don't want to trade him. Doc doesn't want to trade him.
It's hilarious, too, because everyone outside of Boston, Kevin Garnett said this. He said, I bleed green, I die green. But this is a business. These things happen.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious because Boston fans latched onto, I bleed green, I die green.
Yeah.
And that's all. And everyone outside of Boston focused on, but these things happen.
Right. And when he says, but these things happen, I understand it's a business. He has the upper hand here because he has the no trade clause.
But why didn't he say that? That's my thing. And if he wanted, if he was absolutely 100%, I'm not going to get traded. All Garnett's going to say in that situation, it's no secret he's got that trade clause.
Right.
All he's got to say is, I control my own situation, and I'm telling you I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, because he knows, like, if they traded him to a contender, if they had a deal to put him on a contender, he would absolutely go because he wants to win.
Yeah. And, you know, he doesn't want to move. He loves Boston. He hates change. He loves Doc. But if the Lakers get itchy, if something happens and Howard has a blow up and they say, look, we'll give you Dwight Howard for Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett, done.
Oh, yeah.
Boston's jumping at that.
Oh, yeah.
And that's it. And, you know, they'll go to Kevin, and Kevin's like, wait, I get to live in, you know, I've got a house in Malibu. I get to play with Kobe and contend for a title. Yes, I'm going. Yes.
Right.
And then we have Steve Nash and Kevin Garnett on the same team, and I can't handle that's Samuel Dalembert scoring 35 points. Weird.
How dare you?
It's just weird. It's not bad. It's just weird.
He almost got traded to Phoenix in that 2007 sweepstakes.
Which would have been so odd. I was looking back at the trade rumors. There was a bunch of weird ones. Like the Warriors were mentioned back.
Yeah, there was like terrible. The 8th pick in Jason Richardson or something like that at the time. Like that was going to be a deal to get Kevin Garnett.
Right.
But then I think the Bobcats ended up trading for Jason Richardson. And it screwed everything up. Yeah, there were a lot of weird deals at the time. But I do remember that there were rumors of an Amari Stoudemire KG swap.
Yeah.
And 2007 me was saying, that's never going to happen. They're not going to trade Garnett. Boy, was I stupid.
And then on top of that, there's two stories I actually found that were hilarious. One was the report was they talked to the Lakers and it fell apart. And it was Mikhail didn't feel comfortable with Bynum and Odom.
Yeah.
And everyone jokes about that. And and what's come out afterwards in the years since is Mikhail said, I'm not going to trade with the Lakers at all.
Right.
This is why, honestly, I wouldn't employ a Boston Celtic. Or a Los Angeles Laker, honestly, as like a member of your organization. If they're a lifelong, like in the rafters kind of rafters kind of guy.
Right.
Because this is stuff that happens. Like Mikhail, like regardless of whether they got a better deal or not, you can make that argument with Al Jefferson and everything. It doesn't really matter because it's still like you don't want them making that decision because of that. Like it's got nothing to do with you. Like the Lakers Celtics rivalry has nothing to do with you.
Right.
The other funny story was that Garnett turned down Boston before the Ray Allen trade.
Yeah, he did. They had a deal, and he said no.
And that's not just one of those, like, oh, well, you know, that's just the media reporting stuff. Like, and his agent told people he doesn't want to go to Boston.
Yeah. No, it really took the Ray Allen move to convince him that Boston was the place to go. Yeah. They had a deal, and it's fun. I mean, that was – but that, like – that kind of shows you KG was at the time, or still is, but at the time he was ready to like die with the ship. Like he was going to drown with that ship in Minnesota, and they were worried about him, you know, becoming a free agent in a year. And they kind of saw like, hey, this isn't working. We should rebuild and, you know, save a little money now, rebuild and try another crack at this.
And you're right by Kevin.
And do right by Kevin and get him on a contender. And it was getting him on, it was getting him to a contender that made it happen. Otherwise he was, you know, threatening, no, I'm not gonna sign an extension there. You're giving up all these assets and you may lose me. Like that was his leverage. And now his leverage is he has a no trade clause. I think only he has one, Kobe has one, Dirk has one, right? Those are the only three?
I think so.
Aside from like guys who had signed 1 year deals at the time, but that deadline's up too.
So we'll see. We'll see kind of what happens. But I will say this. Boston's clearly taking offers. And if you think that they're not, you're nuts. They're going to say that they're not. They're taking offers.
They would be crazy not to.
Now, they're doing it well because what they're doing is they're taking offers, not receiving or not calling them.
Yeah, which is the way to go. And, if Rondo's healthy and hadn't gone down, none of this would be happening. But it did. There is a very clear time period of how long it takes a guy to come back of a minimum. And, you know, KG's going to be 37 by the time that minimum happens. Like, it's just, you know, it's a franchise doing right by him if he wants it.
So, I'm going into an area to transition. I'm going into an area in which people will care about, but you're going to have to bear with me for a second. So, I've got games Tuesday, Thursday this weekend in town. Big game on Thursday against the Bulls. Excited for that one. Game last night. But the weird thing also is you and Royce have the games on the same night three times this week. You're yeah. both have home games on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Yeah.
Which means, of course, like, I'm the third guy, so I got to cover the night shift.
Right.
So my week is my wife would just she very rarely makes this kind of a noise. She went because it's you know Monday I had to work night. Tuesday I'm at the game. Tonight I got to work the night. Tomorrow I'm at a game. Friday I got to work the night.
Yeah,
it's nuts. And I say this to lead into this, which is we have a zillion games again tonight on the night when I have the shift to myself.
It's weird how that's worked out so many times this year.
Isn't it weird, Zach?
And I'll be at the arena even earlier today because guess who's in town?
Who's in town?
Davey Stern.
Really?
He's having a press conference at 4:30 local time. Doors open at 4, so and the game's at 8. It's an hour later. It's the ESPN game. What?
Is Minnesota getting the All-Star game?
No, I think he's just making the rounds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, maybe he's taking Rubio away from everybody. I don't know. I don't know what's happening, but
I was getting ready to like mark off like the 2015 All-Star game. I'm not going to that one.
David Stern traded Kevin Love to the Lakers this afternoon.
I'm sorry, just things we had to do.
Yeah, he's announcing it, and surprise, the broken hand was a hoax.
Surprise. And then with a big banner behind him, only said mission accomplished, it says basketball reasons.
Right. No, yeah, he's in town. I think he's just making the rounds. It's a nationally televised game. It's on ESPN tonight. So makes sense that he gets shown in the crowd, hang out with us. I'll probably ask him a question about Sacramento.
Now I got to record this. 13 games a night.
That's a lot of games.
A lot of games.
That's two fewer than the maximum allowed.
Oof. What do we got? Houston, Miami is a fun one.
Yes.
The over-under, I think, is 207.
It's. I always wonder, like, with a team that comes out hot like that, and clearly they were hot last night. Now you're going to go against a really – not that the Warriors are bad defensively, but you're going to go against a team that isn't great defensively, but they built a championship off of defense and having LeBron James, right?
Yeah.
Like being a chaotic defense that forces turnovers. I almost wonder if that style for Houston could hurt them coming off a game like that because maybe they're going to be a little too – high on their shooting abilities, or maybe the styles will match up and they'll be fine. But I almost wonder if Miami can get in their head a little bit.
I think they lost the game after the Jazz game. I'm not sure of that though. After the Jazz, I think they whipped the Jazz at home.
Yeah.
I do want to say this about Houston. We didn't get to this. The games like this are why, when I say worried, I mean that they shake my confidence in the stability of the playoffs. That's what I refer to when I say I'm worried about a team.
Yeah.
That's what I mean, is this team could really screw with projections and predictions in terms of the playoffs because Houston's in a position where all they need is for one of these type games that they have to occur in the first two games on the road, and then they've stolen home court. And if they get two in a series, they're halfway home. Like, the defense is horrible. I'm just a little concerned that there's a possibility, depending on who they nab in the first round. Like, somebody mentioned, like, the Rockets, a Rockets fan to me, I think you mentioned the Spurs. And I'm like, no, that's not who you want. The Spurs are just going to out-execute you.
Right.
But you catch Memphis, you catch Golden State, you catch Denver, you catch the Clippers. Houston could mess them up because they've just got so much offensive firepower.
Yeah, Denver actually popped in my head immediately just because of the styles. And you're basically going two teams that like to run, but one of them has better shooters. And that can get you into, you know, they get into a rhythm. That gets you into kind of a hairy situation in a series.
Problem is, Denver did go 3-0 against them in the regular season, and while the regular season doesn't determine that stuff, there is a problem with the fact that what Denver's really done this year, and it's been pretty impressive, they've mastered the art of defending at a high pace.
Yeah.
So they play really well on both ends of the floor. despite playing fast, and they want you playing fast too. They actually, in a lot of ways, they even force fast teams. They force fast teams to play faster than they want. And it messes them up a little bit.
Here's the only thing that I would say about Houston, though, is that Denver's been together for a while. Houston's still feeling each other out.
Yeah.
By the end of the season, if they're riding the confidence of getting into the playoffs and, you know, really gelling as a team, it's technically going to be a different team than what Denver's faced.
That's true.
That would be my, like, I'm not saying Houston will definitely beat Denver in a series. I just think that matchup could, you know, could be one of the better matchups just because it's a style they're comfortable playing. But your points about defending at a high pace are very valid.
So let's talk Golden State, Oklahoma City. What's the line?
We've got the Thunder giving 8.5.
So Bogut's going to play tonight.
It's currently, it opened at 8.5. It's currently 10.5. That's a lot of points.
It's a lot of points. I guess it's got to be based off of the fact that the Warriors looked like crap last night. But Bogut's going to play.
Yeah.
You know, this is a back-to-back game. I don't know if he played last night, but so that's kind of interesting that I took the Warriors. I took the points.
Yeah.
Because I just feel like Golden State's not that bad.
No.
They're pretty good.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fun game.
They're a healthy team.
Yeah.
In terms of how good they are.
Detroit, I think, is favored by 4 over Brooklyn, which is odd.
That.
There's a 2.
It's got them by 2.
Yeah. Yeah, because it was +1, and then it went to them giving 2.
Yeah.
Kind of odd. Again, I feel like Brooklyn, even though they're on a back-to-back, I feel like Brooklyn's going to be mad about that Lakers loss and respond. That should be surprisingly fun, though, because you got Drummond versus Lopez. You got Monroe versus, you know, Humphreys or whoever, or Blatch. You got, what?
It's just the series of names there. You're like Monroe against Humphreys or Evans or Blatch.
Blatch, I guess. So, yeah, I think that one could be kind of fun. Actually, it's probably, that's your secretly good bad game of the night.
Here's the, I think, a very intriguing game, and especially with the line. Sixers are giving 2.5 to the Pacers, who are on the third night of a back-to-back-to-back.
David West's so pissed about it, too.
I thought this wasn't a lockout season.
Yeah, everyone's pretty mad about that one, though.
How did that happen?
They rescheduled it.
It's very, well, yeah, but it's very rare.
Yeah. Well, it comes down to, you know, they had to cancel the Bulls game because of the snow, and so they rescheduled it, and then, like, the only spot they had, but part of this is the arena stuff that comes into play. Nobody factors in, especially, I think, in a place within, like, Indiana, where they have so many events that come through.
Yeah.
Because they're such a tourism city, which is odd, but nobody really thinks of it that way. They are a huge tourism city, and they are honestly, they're like the best place to hold your convention outside of Las Vegas in the world, or in the country. No kidding. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, this is just like a known thing. I know this from having worked in other industries and worked with both places I worked at conferences.
Yeah.
Indiana is like the best place to do it because of their situation, their setup, and their facilities. It's odd, but true. So there's your little trivia for the day. Yeah, it's a weird one. I don't feel like the Sixers are good enough. I feel like Indiana's going to be so pissed about the back-to-back-to-back.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel.
Because who's guarding David West? Thaddeus Young's out.
Yeah, he's gone for a couple weeks.
Say hey, Spencer Hawes.
LaVoy Allen?
That's not a bad one.
He could do it. Well, he couldn't do it, but he could give him a little trouble.
Yeah, he could give him some trouble. Memphis-Atlanta is the battle of teams which are trying to keep themselves out of the toilet flushing.
Huge swing in that line, too. Opened up with Atlanta giving 3, and now they're getting 1.5.
I like Memphis because they're the better team, and that's all I got really there.
Yeah.
Atlanta plays some teams really well. Memphis is one of them. Memphis is on the back-to-back. But I think so is Atlanta. So, yeah, that one's tough. I think that one should be fun, though.
Portland.
The New York-Washington line's weird, too, isn't it?
New York-Washington is, it's only 4.
Yeah.
I feel like that should be higher.
That made me nervous. I was like,
Yeah.
I went ahead and took New York because New York's done this to me several times where the line's been like, oh, Vegas thinks something's up. I'll ride the underdog. And then the Knicks punish me with it. They just beat me over the head and go, bad. No, we are the better team. We are good. Quit thinking that we're a sham. That's been basically been the Knicks this year. So I keep being like, you know, their defense is really slip. Like, their numbers keep falling off, and the Knicks just keep winning. Just win, 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 win.
What about Rudy Gay's Toronto Raptors? They're giving 3 to the Celtics.
That one's weird. I saw that line and was like, Murf? I guess maybe they think that the emotional rush of Boston's worn off.
I guess so.
It's basically a pick 'em on neutral.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, I think they took the Celtics because I think they're a better team.
And then there's Dallas and Portland, and not particularly an interesting game, but I did write about LaMarcus Aldridge today, so you should go check that out.
You did. You did a very good job. You should go check that out.
Thank you.
I no longer want to do my pick'em bets against regarding Portland or Utah for the rest of the year. I don't want to. Like, every time I see them on the pick'em list, I'm just like, I do the same thing with like my wife did. I'm just, oh god, I don't want to pick these teams again. I don't, because that's my thing with Portland. I don't know.
Right.
They're not good, but they win. With Utah, I'm the same way. I'm like, they're not good, but they win. What do you want me to do? I don't know.
I wonder what the over-under on Samuel Dalembert points are tonight.
Did that happen? Did I see that?
There's no way it happened. I don't believe it. I still don't believe it.
I woke up groggy this morning and was like, did that really happen? I had to dream that. That could not have occurred. How you feel about your Wolves?
Really? Is that a question?
It's just Tim Duncan and Ginobili are out.
Kirilenko's out.
Oh, no.
Yeah, quad strain. Not going to be able to play. I do like Pekovic tonight. And no, it's not going to happen.
That's what's amazing is if you told me most years, like, oh, Duncan and Ginobili are out, I'm like, well,
yeah.
Spurs are going to struggle and they'll lose, but it's an acceptable loss. And I'm like, no, they'll probably win by like 30.
Yeah, because that's the thing is the Wolves. Wolves are a lot healthier than they were last time they played, and the Spurs blew them out, but you've got to hit outside shots to beat the Spurs. And
no, I'm sorry, the funny part here is that you just said the Wolves are a lot healthier and Kevin Love and Andre Kirilenko aren't playing.
Right. They at least have a guard rotation this time. That's positive.
All right, I didn't get to talk to you. Are you happy about Ricky's resurgence?
I'm happy about how he's playing, not necessarily results, but the way he's playing. He's been looking for his shot a lot lately. It's been actually surprisingly good. And he's just been aggressive. And I asked him about that after Monday night's game, and he said, I feel really good physically. And it's, you know, and so it's allowing me to be more aggressive and take more of the scoring load. And he also said that Dante Cunningham made him look like a good point guard. Which is
good. That's the Wolves season.
Yep. But no, he's playing well. I actually didn't think he played well Monday night through the first 3 quarters. I thought he forced a lot, and I thought he looked a little erratic. But the fourth quarter, he was just a surgeon with the way he dissected the defense. They gave him 10 assists in the quarter, but really, one got screwed up. It should have been Dante Cunningham getting the assist, so he really had 9. Because they were next to each other on a loose ball. Cunningham picked it up and threw it ahead to Barea for a layup, but Rubio got the credit for the assist. Maybe some hometown scoring, I don't know. Because it's pretty clear on the replay that Rubio never grabs the ball. But so he technically had 15 assists, but he really had 14. With 10 in the fourth quarter. But he looked really good in the fourth. It took them 3 quarters to realize, hey, we should put Damian Lillard and J.J. Hickson in a pick and roll.
I'm so sad for you.
It's at least I didn't think they were going to make the playoffs coming into this year. That's the only thing. Like,
yeah.
I had expectations for them to be like a 500 team, and I understand like they've just been way too injured to do that. But it's just like one after another. Yeah. It's just kind of weird, but whatever.
They were that team that got hit this year.
Yeah, they were that team, and it happens.
Tomorrow, I want to talk to you about some All-Star stuff, because I have some ideas.
Hey, people should go check out our All-Star videos on CBSSports.com.
Yeah, we did our video show yesterday, the Iowa Basketball Show. You can see Zach and I talking about who we think should be in the dunk contest and the three-point contest. We talk about the Garnett situation. We touch on a number of things. I yell about how people are making Rudy Gay into some sort of megastar that the Grizzlies traded. There's a lot of fun stuff, so make sure to check it out in the video section at CBSSports.com. Let's see what else we got going on. Tomorrow we got four-point play, which would be really good. I'm doing it on Boston, L.A. And then I got Larry Sanders last night for behind the screen. Same kind of thing I did with Iguodala, so that should be pretty good.
I'm excited for that.
Yeah, it'll be really good. He was surprisingly good. Some people were like, well, you know, he's not like Iguodala in terms of the cerebral, and he was fantastic. He lit up talking about defense. He was great.
That's great. Looking forward to that.
So glad his x-rays were negative, too. He took a hard fall going against Fareed last night, at a point in which I thought the entire arena was going to explode. I thought Fareed killed him for a second. I was like, oh, God.
Oh, no.
It's bad.
Well, good that he's okay. And, Matt, I will talk to you tomorrow.
All right, man. Thanks.
Thank you.